Hi, and thanks for downloading this, the 455th episode of the IVMV podcast. On this episode, we're going to talk about some of the awards that Cubs players have won here in the offseason. We're going to talk about the roster moves that the Cubs have made, and we'll talk about the Cubs players that are free agents now, and we'll share our thoughts on those players, and we'll talk about if we expect to see them come back to the Cubs. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I am joined by the other two hosts of this podcast.
Hi, it's Andy.
And Kurt.
If you started listening to us this season, and especially in the postseason, here, you know, in the winter months, in the offseason, we go down to one episode a week. And you can listen to our podcast on any of the podcast apps that are out there. You can listen on our website, IVMV.com, or you can download the free IVMV app. It's on iOS and Android. So are you guys, have you recovered from the World Series yet? I'm still kind of in a fog from it. Are you guys? I still haven't gone back to watch Game 7 the second time yet. And I was talking with somebody tonight, and they were like, yeah, we've probably watched it like five times, and we watched it last night. And I thought, yeah, I do a podcast on the Cubs, and I still haven't gone back to Game 7 yet.
Well, I've watched the ninth inning multiple times. So I don't think I've watched the full game. I watched a condensed version of it, and then I watched the full ninth inning. I mean, not ninth inning. The final inning, which would have been the 10th, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so... Yeah, I watched that a couple times. I didn't watch the inning where they won. I just watched the.
What's the ninth?
I just liked
it. I've been watching the eighth a lot. Yeah. Especially the bottom of the eighth. Just been a really good inning to keep watching. No, I did. I did watch. MLB Network is playing like a condensed version of it, and I was at in-laws and they have DirecTV, so I watch it on there. But it's such an odd edit of the game because it's not highlights necessarily, it's very Cubs centered. And they cut out weird stuff, so like they'll show like a Bryant strikeout and then not show any Indians batters for the first three innings. So yeah, it's odd, but I have watched a bit of that. So
yeah, see, I just can't really, like, it's one of those things that's just sitting there, and I know that I want to watch it, but I'm not sure I'm like kind of emotionally prepared to watch it again. And really what it is I feel like I'm going to focus more on the things that frustrated me with Game 7 than, you know, I've already enjoyed the celebration. I've already enjoyed the fact that the Cubs have won the World Series. And now I'm afraid if I go back, like, it's just going to take me to some like dark places. And I do want to go back there, but actually, like, I mean, I would like to do an episode, the three of us, where all we do is talk about Game 7, because I think we kind of like glossed over Game 7, because we didn't want to, in our, you know, the episode that we did right afterwards, you know, 4 or 5 days afterwards, we didn't really want to talk about anything about that game. We just wanted to talk about the fact that the Cubs won the World Series. And so I think we kind of ignored and neglected some like interesting conversations I think we could have about that game. And I would like to go back and do it, but I was kind of thinking like, well, maybe I'll wait and watch Game 7 right before we record that episode and like preparing for it and not really watch it before then. So I don't know. That's kind of what my plan is right now. I honestly don't plan to watch that until I have to. And I mean, I've watched the final play hundreds of times. I just haven't watched the rest of that game.
Yeah, it hasn't dawned on you that they won and they can't take it away. Of course, if I watch it, they wouldn't take it away.
Dude, you got to watch the top of the 10th. You can't just watch the final play. I mean,
I know I haven't, though. I will. I mean, I will at a certain point. I definitely want to. I want to enjoy that. Like, I kind of want to watch that game again in a critical mindset and really kind of like try to pick it apart. And then I want to watch it again where I just like know that they're going to win and I just enjoy it. So I don't know.
Yeah, I think the condensed game is the way to go, because to sit through every pitch would probably be a struggle, I think. But
yeah,
especially if you can't get out commercials.
Right. Yeah.
So do you guys find yourself missing baseball at all?
I do, for sure.
Really? I don't.
Yeah, because baseball is kind of my only sport now. I mean, I don't watch NFL at all. Right. And college football is I like college football, but I don't really have a team.
Hey, how about about your Iowa Hawkeyes last night?
Don't call them my Iowa Hawkeyes, number one. I'm from Illinois, so it's even worse. But, you know, and I love college basketball, but that's barely started. So I have a little bit of college basketball to get me through, but I definitely miss baseball.
Yeah, see, and for me, it's like I don't miss it yet because the month of October and, you know, the first few days of November was so exhausting and emotionally draining that I just need a break from things that are emotional to me.
Well, and I miss regular season baseball.
Yeah, maybe I miss that. But I mean, you know, and my backup is usually college football, but here we are like the second week of November and Notre Dame just got their fourth win. So, I mean, it hasn't been, that's not getting me fired up either. So I'm just kind of looking forward to not really, I could use a break from sports, to be honest. And I'm okay with a little bit of a dead period here. What about you, Andy?
Well, I think that's just it. It was like when I go to watch my other go-to sports, it's just not the same as watching Cubs postseason baseball with, you know, the high stakes and the emotional highs and lows of it. So I think in comparison, I just miss Cubs baseball when I go to watch other sports. I think really brings that into stark contrast for me.
Yeah,
I miss baseball. Hmm.
See, I'm kind of like, I want to use this time to like, I don't know, I want to read. Like, you know what I mean? I want to find like something else to occupy my time. And so that's what, I know that things are going to pick back up with baseball really in just, a few months. And so I just really kind of want to enjoy these few months of being able to see things when they happen. With the Cubs, and so we're able to talk about it, but not invest, 4 hours a day.
In my Sudoku, my Cryptoquote, and my chickens, and that's all I need.
You gotta patch some holes in the chicken garage.
Right. I had really neglected the worms. So yeah, I think you're gonna see us do a mix of types of episodes this offseason. We'll talk about some of the news, which is what we're doing this week. I think we'll do episodes on big picture topics, and I would like to do a couple of interview episodes too. So I think that's kind of what we have in store for you this offseason. So Kurt, let's talk about Cubs players that have won individual player awards.
Yeah, we're just getting started on the awards season. There's gonna be a lot more next week, but I figured we'd get these out of the way. Rizzo had a big week. He won Silver Slugger, Gold Glove, and Platinum Glove, which I think is the most significant of the awards that have been handed out so far. That Platinum Glove is the best defensive player in the National League. And, we've always known Rizzo's a really good defensive player, but I don't know that we ever thought he'd be the best in the league. And that's kind of awesome to have like a complete player like that, and also a team leader, pull in these awards to show that he's got all of it. So that was really cool. And then also Hayward, no surprise, won a Gold Glove, and then Arrieta, Silver Slugger, which is sort of like kind of funny to get a Silver Slugger for being a pitcher. But and then so next week will be a bigger week. You got Rookie of the Year, MVP, Manager of the Year, Cy Young. So all that'll kind of trickle in through the week.
Yeah. I mean, you guys are more, I know you guys appreciate these awards, more than I do. But I think that it is kind of cool to see some of these individual players get recognition. I mean, it's great. I think in the past it's been like, okay, these individual awards are great, but how about a team award? And so now we have, our team has the ultimate team award, and so it's kind
in
of nice.
You missed it to the listeners.
right,
the team won an award.
If you have game 7 DVR'd, I'm sorry you haven't watched it yet. But yeah, I mean, it's cool to see these individual players get some recognition, although I just can't get that excited about awards. And how about this, Do you guys know which team won the award for the best team defense?
Well, I'm assuming by the way you phrase the question, it's not the Cubs.
That's right. It's the Giants. And
that's bogus.
Right. According to Fangraph's defensive rating, the Cubs were number one, obviously, in defense. The Giants were number two. The Cubs rating was 28% higher, and they had arguably one of the best defenses in the history of baseball. And then you have this. So, I mean, and I think some of this is why I can't really get into awards very much. You know, look at somebody like Mike Trout, who has been kind of passed over a couple times. And I mean, it's just like, I think it's when opinion comes into it and agenda, and it's voted by people that don't value the same things. Like, it just kind of takes something away from it for me. So I don't know. I guess that's all I'll say about it.
I don't disagree with you. I mean, just based on what you said about the Cubs not being the best defense. And honestly, I mean, we love Rizzo. Rizzo is a great defensive player, but Rizzo is not the best defensive player in the National League.
No. I don't think Rizzo is the best
defensive player on this team.
Exactly, yeah.
So, you know, he just won the award. And I think it is cool to see him be recognized for... It's probably more about overall impression and maybe improvement than it was about this year in particular.
Yeah. Yeah, speaking of defense, though... last night, so I have my nieces over, and so I've got, five girls, you know, and they're all, in the living room for their slumber party. And so, I made them sit and watch, and we watched, baseball highlights on YouTube and we watched this like greatest circus catches, you know, montage or whatever. And, there was some Rizzo ones in there, obviously the tarp catch and the wall catch and everything. And then out of the blue, I see old Lonnie Chisenhall, and his circus catch was basically that he ran into the center fielder
and hung on to it.
Yeah, he did hold on to it. So old circus Lonald, the circus catch freak.
That'll help you. That Mountain Dew vape juice will help you hang on to it.
Did you guys happen to hear the Lonnie Chisenhall voicemail on that episode I put out on Thursday or Friday?
Yeah, it was pretty great.
Oh my gosh, hilarious. And I don't know who those are coming from, which makes it better.
Yeah, so if anyone hasn't listened to that, check it out. It was the most recent episode before this that we released, and it's worth listening to for that voicemail, if nothing else.
But so many of those other voice, I really enjoyed putting that episode together, because like to hear Dallas, you know, from Australia, like even... You know, the voicemail that he left before Game 7 was awesome. And then the voicemail after the Cubs won it all, like, that was awesome. And just hearing everybody's response and to have, like, it's almost just kind of like a, I don't know, like a time capsule, you know? And it was fun to hear people calling before the game, during the game, after the game, and just kind of, like, trying to come to terms with all of their emotions. It was really cool.
And now we're going to bury it. So go listen.
Okay. So there has been some shuffling that the Cubs have done so far this offseason. And I think just one roster move, right? One addition, I believe.
The one that you're thinking of is Connor Moley, who is a right-handed pitcher that the Yankees drafted in the 24th round of 2010. And so the Cubs claimed him off of waivers from the Yankees. And so, you know, as they have the space and they, you know, they have the ability to grab some arms that have some upside, that appears to be what they're doing. So this is a guy who is, and the Cubs have done this a lot in the recent years, is grab a guy coming off of injury and see what he pans out to be, if anything. So, Moley had elbow surgery in 2016, but he's shown himself in his minor league career to be a big time bat misser. As in 2016, at the AAA level, he struck out 11.1 per nine while only walking 2.7 per nine, and his whip was 0.881. So, seems like he has some upside to him, and I like that the Cubs, I mean, if the the waiver grab was hot on the heels of the season ending. So, I mean, they're working, you know, they're already working. The other guy that the Cubs grabbed was, Jose Rosario, who is a pitcher who's never, he's a 26-year-old pitcher who's never pitched at the big league level, but he also missed time in 2015 due to TJ surgery. So, so a couple arms they've grabbed.
Do you think do you think that Molly was a Theo Epstein Bender acquisition?
I'm guessing it's somebody else who didn't have a Cubs Cub head on. Probably did this one. Probably responsible for this one. Somebody wasn't wearing a furry head drenched in champagne.
Who's the guy last year they picked up like three different times and kept releasing? And
Edgar Olmos.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. Well, there are going to be a few of those kind of guys coming through here in next few weeks.
I think especially with, you know, the shape of the bullpen, I think the bullpen could be a lot different in 2017. And so I think that we'll see. I mean, this is what they've done really over the last couple of years, is just brought in a lot of guys that, hey, why not just take a flyer on them and see what happens? And if it doesn't work out, then, you know, see ya. And if you're like almost, maybe we'll bring you back again a couple more times. So I think we'll see a lot of moves like this, and especially with having that number five starter spot available. I mean, I don't think the Cubs are just going to hand it to Montgomery necessarily. Like, it seems like what they've done in the past is didn't it seem like a couple years ago they had a spot open and they basically had like five guys, mm-hmm. you know, going for it. And I think we'll see the similar thing in spring training.
Well, I wouldn't say he's a lock though, but I would say like he's a strong possibility for it.
Are you talking about Montgomery?
Almost a given what they have on the roster currently, barring, you know.
Unless they sign somebody. Unless they sign another like rehab project.
Wait, are you talking about Montgomery having that spot, or are you talking about Molly being part of the team?
No, I'm talking about Montgomery having spot.
Yeah, I think so too. But I mean, you know, the Cubs were also very lucky with injury in 2016 when it comes to the rotation. And so I think having more guys than they need, and if they can stick a couple in Iowa, you know, do some minor league contracts and stuff. I just think we'll see more of that. I don't think we're going to see like, I don't think they're going to open spring training and it's like, yep, Montgomery's got that number five spot. I think we'll see some competition for it.
They're going to force some competition for that spot and hope that Montgomery wins it. But if he doesn't, then he's a good bullpen spot too.
And these two guys they've grabbed are relievers for sure. But I'm sure they'll grab starting types as well.
Yeah,
for sure.
And honestly, I wouldn't mind seeing them, actually spend a little bit of money on another starter, because we know that Montgomery can play, pitch out of the bullpen. And who's to say when at the end of spring training, I mean, guys get injured in spring training. Let's not forget, like in 2015, Lester coming out of spring training with a dead arm, when if he hadn't been the huge acquisition in the offseason, I think you probably would have seen him start the season off on the DL. So I just think you can't really have too many. And the Cubs have the money.
And you know, they love the like mid-30s rehab starter, right? You know?
Yeah.
Like, and there are a handful of those guys out there, lefties, like a CJ Wilson, or I mean, Rich Hill is probably too good for that, but he sort of fits that bill. I don't know if they're gonna go after him or not. But you know, I mean, there's a handful of older left-handed rehabs or tailing end of their career that would make a great number five starter.
Yeah. Yep. But I agree with you.
Jason Hamill is one of your best free agent possibilities for any team.
Right.
Like it's going to be at a little bit of a premium this off season. Any potential rotation arms.
Right. And I mean, that's also something that they can address, with a trade, during the season too. They need to, because who knows what Lackey, you know, will be in. Yeah. Well, moving on, I guess, with the Cubs being built the way that they have been, there's not a lot of turnover with this team right now, but there will be a few players testing out the free agency market. And we wanted to go through the players that were with the 2016 Cubs that are now free agents. And we'll kind of talk about any news, you know, in regards to as where they may land and share our thoughts on if the Cubs should bring them back or not. So I'll kind of start things off here, and I'll start with Dexter Fowler. I don't, you know, I think a big contract didn't really materialize for Fowler last season. The Orioles offered him $11 million a year, 3 years, $30 million, just a 3-year deal. So, you know, I just don't think that that was necessarily what he was looking for, especially when he turned down the, what was it, 15 something qualifying offer from the Cubs. And I think that Fowler had a really strong showing this year. And really some spectacular stretches. And I think especially with the role that he played on the team, and with the Cubs being a team that got a lot of publicity, I think that's all going to help him a lot. I mean, he gets on base. There was a drastic improvement, in the field for Fowler this year. I think that's going to help him a lot. And, I mean, he improved a lot in the field. And I think he should be able to get a pretty big contract this offseason. And I would say probably more than the Cubs would be willing to pay, given the young talent and, you know, really kind of the logjam in the outfield. Maybe it's not a logjam, but at least it's like a plethora of options, I guess. And Fowler took less to come back to the Cubs last season. And I think after experiencing that World Series win, I honestly think it makes sense for Fowler to go somewhere else. I think it makes financial sense for him. And honestly, I think it makes sense for the Cubs to let him go. I don't think, you know, if he wants a 4-year deal or something, I don't think that the Cubs should necessarily commit to Fowler for 4 years. The Cubs obviously did extend him a qualifying offer. This year, the qualifying offers were $17.2 million. I think that's what it was. And if he signs somewhere else, that means the Cubs will pick up a draft pick from the team that signs him. So I guess my prediction is that he does not end up with the Cubs. I think that, you know, it just worked well for him to come back to the Cubs this year. And I think he took a pay cut, and you can't really expect a guy to take a pay cut to come back or to take fewer years. I mean, I don't think that the Players Association would appreciate that very much. And I just don't think that's what's necessarily best for him. So I kind of see him getting like a 4-year deal and, you know, a neighborhood of $60 to $70 million, you know, total. And honestly, my prediction is that he ends up on the St. Louis Cardinals.
That would hurt a little.
Because they need
it's a little bit unfortunate because he does. He fits really well with this team because he's right. Not your prototypical leadoff hitter. He's not a speed guy, but he gets on base a lot, and that's what this. And he works really good at bats, a lot of pitches. So he fits with this team well.
Gonna turn it around, you guys.
But I agree with everything you said, Corey. I have almost no expectation that he'll be back. So and isn't it kind of amazing that we've gotten in 2016? We're to the point where a Dexter Fowler type is extended a $17.2 million offer as a qualifying offer and turns it down. Like, who thought we'd see a pretty good center fielder get making $17 million.
Right. And last year, I mean, these qualifying offers and I am in no way an expert on how this stuff works, but I know that, you know, last year was, if I remember right, the first year that players actually did accept those offers, like Matt Wieters did and, who else did? It seems like two other players did, but I don't remember who they were. But I mean, that was the first time that players started accepting them, which to me would make you think that like, maybe these are getting a little bit high. And this year, I think wasn't last year like 15.8, I think, and this year is 17.2. So, but it's that, you know, it's 1 year. And I think Dexter Fowler, how old is he? 30? Maybe
30 or 31.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, he's in the stage, like, he deserves 4 years. And I think you can't go from year to year. There's no, oh, what's the term I'm looking for? Like commitment, you know, there's no insurance, I guess, that like, you know, you could have a season ending or career ending injury and just kind of be out on a 1 year deal. And I think he deserves it. I think he deserves to get paid. I mean, him taking a pay cut to come back to the Cubs, I think was, you know, just, I think it said a lot to how he felt about the organization, how he felt about this team. And I'm just really excited that he got a ring out of it. And I think it's time to go make your money somewhere else. And, you know, while it will bother me to see him play for the Cardinals, I'm not going to consider him a traitor. BFIB would do.
If the Cardinals want to pay him, I guess that's where you go.
Right. And I think the Cubs and Cubs fans will always have a place in Fowler's heart. So I think I'm okay with that. And honestly, I think he's a good fit there. I mean, as much as I hate to say it, I think, you know, didn't they get rid of that Hazel Baker guy? And I don't know.
He's gone.
Yeah. So I know that they need somebody. And so it just wouldn't surprise me at all if that's where he ends up. So next up, how about Jason Hamill?
Yeah. The Cubs declined his option. So now he's a free agent. He would have made $10 million in 2017, so he would have been a good value for the Cubs. And he had good numbers this past season. So now he's a free agent, and now he's one of the best free agent starters available. So he figures to get paid more and get more stability, you know, over a span of years here than on a 1 year deal in 2017 with the Cubs. And so the Cubs could have easily hung on to him and traded him as a rental then to another team. And so what we saw was the Cubs doing the right thing, you know, by Jason Hamill. He even took out a full page ad thanking the Cubs front office and team for treating him like family. And so now he has a chance to be in a position for a lot of stability for himself and for his family for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's something that could easily go unnoticed, that cutting a guy loose looks like, oh my gosh, like how do you not like this guy and want him back for such a good deal? But the reality is they let him make his choice. He gets to choose what team he plays for, mm-hmm. rather than hold on to him and make a flip.
Right. And I think not only is it like really kind of like, as a Cubs fan, it's really encouraging to see the team do something like that. But at the same time, it looks really good for the Cubs front office for working with players in the future. You know, when mm-hmm. when you can kind of point to examples where you did right by another, by a player, then I think it bodes well for how agents, you know, what agents think of you and what players on other teams think of you. And I think it was a really smart move. But I'm not saying that they did it just for that reason, but it's a win-win for everybody. And I just think the Cubs kind of come out as winners in that deal. Anything else you want to say about Hamill, Andy?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. And let's move to Aroldis Chapman.
Oh, Aroldis. Well, I think we've seen the last of Aroldis in a Cubs uniform. It'd be very un-Theo to pay a lot of money for a bullpen arm. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's very unlikely. He's looking for a lot of money, probably a four or five year deal. They could reach $100 million. You know, he could set a record for a bullpen arm contract. And then you also talk about teams like the Yankees and the Dodgers being interested. And I think that all those things add up to the Cubs being out. I think they'll do their due diligence and have a conversation with him about coming back, but I don't see Aroldis taking a pay cut to stay with the Cubs. So he got his ring. He can go sign his big contract and his days as a Cub seem to be over.
See, I kind of agree with you, but at the same time, I kind of don't like, I think that the Cubs would like to have his arm. I just don't think they necessarily want him. And I think that, like, I mean, when you look at the top two closers that are out there in the free agent market right now. It's Chapman and Kenley Jansen. And I would like to see the Cubs go after Jansen. I think maybe they would. I mean, I think you maybe would spend on an arm like that if you're Theo, but I just don't think they want Chapman.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, just look at what they did with last year's bullpen, and maybe that's not what they want to do. Maybe that's what they were forced to do in previous years, so maybe it's unfair to project that that's what they'll continue to do, but I just don't see them spending $100 million or anywhere close to $100 million.
Yeah, but at the same time, though, I mean, the Cubs obviously realized the value in having an arm like that by going out and trading away their number one prospect to bring in Aroldis Chapman. So I think that they see the value of having a closer like that. I mean, I think that they identified that they needed him. They needed someone like him to be successful in the playoffs, and that's why they went out at the trade deadline. And so I don't think that the Cubs are going to be content with Rondon closing games in 2016. I mean, I personally would like to see them go out and get Jansen.
Yeah. But don't you think they could do what they did this year where, like, you leave that money off the books, and then if you're in contention in July, you make another of these deals, because they certainly have the farm system to pull off another bullpen trade again.
Yeah. So, but at what point do you figure I would rather spend the money than spend the capital?
I don't know. I think back-to-back World Series is a pretty good incentive to spend whatever you have to spend on.
True, but I mean,
you might as well spend the money then.
Right, and if you traded Gleyber Torres to get Aroldis Chapman and that got you a ring, are you going to also trade Jimenez, you know, in a back-to-back year to get another closer? I don't think you do. I think you'd rather spend some money. I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah, I would agree though with you, what you said, that I'd rather see it be Jansen than Chapman. But
oh yeah,
those are more for personality reasons or whatever you want to call them than arm reasons.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, there's certainly a lefty who can throw 105 is more valuable. But
yeah, there's another guy the Cubs are looking at too, Greg Holland, who recently was with the Royals. So another possibility, but. Yeah, they're exploring their options for sure.
Yeah, I think that the bullpen is an area that we'll see the Cubs work on a lot, and I just don't think that they're necessarily comfortable with a postseason run with, you know, Rondon. And I like Rondon, but, you know, he was a Rule 5 guy, you know what I mean? Like, he was kind of like one of these scrap heap guys that just turned out pretty well. I don't think, you know, obviously they didn't trust him. He was healthy when the Cubs signed Chapman, and so that tells you right there that they didn't necessarily think that Rondon would be able to do it. So, okay, so let's move on to Travis Wood. And I think when it comes to Travis Wood, I think Travis still sees himself as a starter. And I don't think the Cubs have given him any indication that they would ever use him as a starter. And so I kind of expect that role, difference in opinion, I guess, on that role to be one of the primary factors in where Wood ends up. I think if he accepts a role in the bullpen, then maybe he could come back to the Cubs. I don't see that happening. And honestly, like before this week and before the Braves signed Bartolo Colon and R.A. Dickey, I honestly thought that Wood might end up in Atlanta as a starter, a back-end starter. You know, they're not ready to make any sort of push, and he'd be a reliable back-end starter that doesn't have an injury history. And so I kind of think that maybe we could see him end up with another team that's in that kind of middle of a rebuild or even beginning a rebuild, like the Reds or maybe the White Sox or something like that, like a team that just needs a quality guy that can go out there and throw, but isn't going to cost a lot. And, you know, I think he would take a deal like that because it's going to get him a starting position, and I think it's going to pay him a little bit more. So I don't know. I honestly don't see him back with the Cubs next year.
I would agree, because he's not a very good loogie. And I think he wants to start. So I think you're right. He goes somewhere where he can get that number five spot.
Yeah. All right, Andy, how about your look-alike, Trevor Cahill?
Oh, man.
Doppelganger.
I knew you gave me Cahill on purpose, too. Why don't you go tend the worms? Yeah, it's hard to tell with Cahill. He pitched mostly out of the bullpen for the Cubs. I saw he got one start for the Cubs. Do you guys remember that at all? I don't remember that at all. But anyway, he ended up with a 2.74 ERA over 65.2 innings. And so he could be, I've always thought like he should get a chance to start either with the Cubs or, you know, with someone else. But his FIP was 4.35 and his walk rate was up to 4.8. So I don't think that exactly makes him super serviceable reliever. So I feel like he's going to get a look as a starter somewhere. He made $4.25 million on a one-year deal with the Cubs this past season. So he's going to be a cheap rotation option for someone. I'm not sure if I would expect the Cubs to give him a look or not. I think Montgomery really looks like, to me, he's going to be the number five starter. It seems like everybody is penciling him in. Of course, it's not a lock, but I'm not sure about Cahill.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see the Cubs. I don't see him coming back, although I think, you know, I think there's something there that the Cubs like. And so if they can bring him back in a role that he's played now, then, you know, maybe they would consider doing that. But I really kind of see the Cubs exploring a lot of options, like I said, in the bullpen. And
sure. Well, and then if like Cahill and Wood are gone too, I mean, I'm sure the long relief will just kind of rise to the surface, but
right. How about Chris Coughlin?
How about him? He's another guy who doesn't, at least in my eyes, look like a good fit to be back. Certainly you like the left-handed bat off the bench as an extra outfielder too. But, you know, if you've got Schwarber back playing left field with the left-handed bat every day, and then you've got Caesar controlled as a platoon if you need him as a right-handed bat, I just don't see Coughlin taking a deal that puts him behind those two. That he's going to be competing for starts with Schwarber and also platooning with Caesar. So I think he's probably looking for a little bit closer to either a starting or a fourth outfielder position. So, and I know that it's obvious that the Cubs like him, given that they traded him and then got him back. So, you know, they like what they see and they like the left-handed bat, but I just don't see him coming back either.
Yeah. And did you mention in that kind of log jam in the outfield? I mean, there's also Soler
he's so far behind so many guys that it just doesn't make sense. And you know, that's all pending Schwarber being back and playing left field every day, I think. But
right,
I think assume that's the case.
Yeah, and I think like, you know, Chris Coughlin, like some of these other players that we've talked about, like Fowler and Hamill. I mean, really what it is that like the Cubs are so good and have such a deep roster that these are guys that can go get, you know, better playing time and with other teams. And I think that just makes sense for some of them. It's not necessarily that I don't want to see Fowler back or Hamill back or Chris Coughlin back. I wouldn't be opposed to any of those three returning at all. I just think that they're good enough to get better spots somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I guess I have three more here that I didn't really think we needed to talk about very much, but I'll see if you guys have any thoughts on it. Joe Smith is a free agent. Munenori Kawasaki, and then obviously David Ross is retiring. I didn't really see the Cubs use Joe Smith enough to think that he's somebody. I mean, I guess if they could get him cheap, there was, you know, they liked that he brought something different as far as his release point and all that kind of stuff, arm slot and everything. But I kind of felt like he was a move that they brought in that was kind of like they felt like something specific was needed for this 2016 bullpen. And I think it was more about that, him just kind of giving batters a different look than it was like, hey, we kind of like what this guy brings, and we could see him being a part of this. So, and Kawasaki.
They liked his unique name, so that was a big part of it.
Right. Yeah, Joe Smith, not Kawasaki. Do you guys have any thoughts on either of those guys?
No. I totally agree. I think he doesn't make a lot of sense as a full season guy for this team.
Yeah. And I mean,
I don't expect to see him.
Yeah. And I think Kawasaki, who knows, he could be back. I don't know exactly how he felt about sitting in AAA all season. I guess he came up briefly, but I don't know. Is Kawasaki the kind of guy that can get more playing time on a different team? Maybe. I mean, it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't want to dismiss him because I know that a lot of Cubs fans liked him. On the other hand, it didn't matter. So I don't really feel like talking about him.
Yeah, he's definitely got nowhere to play.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? He might be able to unseat Zobrist and Baez at second base, right?
Right.
All right. Well, that does it for this episode. It was brought to you by all of our Patreon supporters. We had a bunch of people jump on the Patreon campaign in the postseason, and it was just so chaotic with all the post-game shows in the World Series that I kind of fell behind with thanking people. So I want to thank Andrew from Fairfield, Connecticut, Chad in Minneapolis, Jared from Spokane, Washington, Andy and Mary in Iowa, James in Bloomington, Illinois, Adam in, I hope I don't mess this up, Biggleswade, Bedfordshire in Great Britain, Joshua in Colorado Springs, and Joshua is in at the Ultimate IVMV Patreon supporter level, which means the three of us will take you to a game. So let's find a date in 2017. And Greg and Jason Nunn are also our other two Ultimate Patreon supporters. We need to take Greg to a game too, and heck, why not Jason? That'd be kind of fun, like us and all three of them go to a game. That'd be fun. Samuel in Garner, North Carolina, John in Dallas, Mark in Corpus Christi, Bill in Minneapolis, Mike in Chicago, Chris in Munford, Tennessee, Greg in Knox, Indiana, Paul in Boise, Idaho, Steve in Farmer City, Illinois, Michael in Carlsbad, California, Daniel in Roswell, Georgia, and Tyler in Cary, North Carolina. So all of your support is so appreciated, and everything that comes in through Patreon goes right back into the podcast. The support that we received during the postseason was just incredible, and we sincerely thank you. And if you would like to support this podcast, you can go to patreon.com/IVMV. That's patreon.com/IVMV. Here after the music, I'm going to include a few more voicemail messages that I missed before. Our voicemail line is active year-round, so if you have a question that you would like us to discuss on the podcast, or if you have an opinion on the Cubs that you would like to share, you can call our voicemail line. It's 309-517-0624. So thank you for listening, and we'll be back next Sunday evening, and I think the plan is that we will talk about what the Cubs need this offseason and who their possible options are to fill those needs. I guess we kind of got into that a little bit with our closer discussion here. But that might be what we'll talk about. I guess we'll see what happens. And so thanks again for listening. And until Sunday evening, go Cubs.
Hey, this is Artie from Denver, Colorado, and I'm recording this shortly after the victory for us, for the Cubs, being the 2016 World Series champions. And there's a lot of F's that I can think of right now. Great joys of four-letter words, family, friends that this podcast has created for us together, faith in this team, and then just a whole bunch of other little things that just kind of just did a lot of foreshadowing. 108 years to the last championship. There's 108 outs to to win a four games in a 7-game series. There's 108 stitches, double stitches on a baseball. And then most importantly, personally for me, my favorite player growing up, Andre Dawson. How many runs did we score for the final game? There you go. Hey, I hope everybody cried a bunch of tears of joy. I know I did. Anyways, hey, this is awesome. I'm out. Bye. Hey, it's Artie from Denver, Colorado again. Pod reflection today of the win. I wanted to just say that I wish that I could discuss this and everything and celebrate this with my dad. For years and years in a row here in Colorado, the Cubs always came to Coors Field right around the beginning of August, which is really close to my dad's birthday. And I always got tickets for us, and we would go to at least one game, maybe sometimes two, maybe all three. Well, a few years ago, my dad had a couple of strokes. And he's still alive. And but it's his communication skills, and he's has some physical problems that he's had to get therapy for. And unfortunately, because of the whole situation and everybody wanting to do the best for my dad, my sister and I, and then versus his girlfriend, just couldn't see eye to eye, and so she's pretty much been keeping him for us. So I just kind of wish that I could discuss this with my dad. Sorry for the tears and everything, but I just wanted to hopefully let it out and get some therapy on this. Anyways, thanks guys. Thanks for the podcast and the enjoyment and everything. So, and just signing off for now. And go Cubs. Thanks. Bye.